Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
LJ Renee, let's continue our discussion that we started this morning after prayer.
What discussion?
When we were talking about the perspective of the saints of God, I want to just go back and start where we left off when we talked about being able to see with the eyes of faith the way God sees things and how we talked about, I know I shared when I fly sometime, when you're on the ground and you're looking at things from the natural, normal perspective and how big things are. If you've ever been inside the Ohio State University football stadium, how massive and big it is. But I know I have been inside the airplane and we've flown over the stadium. And as you begin to ascend, how that huge, massive stadium shrinks in size until that it's nothing but a blip or a dot in your eyes as you're ascending high. The same it is with houses. When you're standing next to a large house, it seems to be massive and huge. But as you begin to ascend in the airplane, the houses begin to look like Monopoly pieces, because your perspective of things changes. As you begin to rise high, what you see and how you see it changes. And so it is with the things of God. As you begin to elevate yourself in the spiritual things of God, what you see and how you see it begins to change. That's what I'd like to talk about today is, Lord, open my eyes. I mean, do you see what God sees? Can you see through the eyes of faith? I pray today that God would open our eyes. And we're going to talk about a few situations in the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse 15, it says, "And when the servant of Elisha, the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant, Elisha's servant, said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and the young man saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha."
So I'll start at the 15th verse and read it in the Message version. It says, "Early in the morning, a servant of the holy man got up and went out. Surprise! Horses and chariots surrounding the city. The young man exclaimed, Oh, master, what shall we do? He said, Don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side. Then Elisha prayed, Oh God, open his eyes and let him see. So the eyes of the young man were opened and he saw a wonder. The whole mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elijah."
Amen. So the question is, what do you see when you're standing in the midst of your difficulties of life, when you're standing in the midst of your trials and tribulations? What do you see? Do you see the host of the army of your enemy, or do you see the host of the army of the Lord? It's just like when you get on that airplane, when you're on the ground, everything is level and you see everything just as it is. You see the difficulty for how hard it is. You see the trouble for how difficult it is. But when you begin to ascend in the airplane, something miraculous happens. What looked to be big and daunting and looked to be insurmountable when you were on the ground now begins to take a whole different perspective, have a whole different perspective in your eyesight. Now that which was huge becomes small, and that which was small becomes so minuscule you can't even see it. And you put things in perspective, and what you were afraid of doesn't look so daunting and unsurmountable anymore, because now you see at a different level. Now you have risen above the situation. Now your eyes have been elevated to see from a different plane. And that's what we pray, that all of the believers of God would be able to see at a different plane. Lord, open my eyes. And the miraculous thing is, it's not that God necessarily changes your circumstance or your situation as you are praying, but he changes your perspective of your circumstance and your situation as you are praying. So what looked to be big and huge and made you afraid before, you don't look at that anymore. Now you take your eyes off of the problem and you put your eyes on God. As Jehoshaphat prayed to the Lord, he said, our eyes are on you. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. When you don't know what to do, that is not when you put your eyes on the problem or the situation or the insurmountable obstacle. That's not when you concentrate on the sickness or the doctor's report. That's not when you start meditating on what you need and what you don't have. But that's when you say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to make it out of this. I don't know what I'm going to do, but my eyes are upon you. And if you put your eyes upon the Lord, you'll begin to see things from a godly perspective, from a faith-filled perspective. And the faith-filled perspective says, I may not be able to do this thing in and of myself. Without God, I would be utterly destroyed. But through Christ, I can do all things because he is my strength. When you look from the eyes of faith and from a godly perspective, then you can say, and you can see how the scriptures are true when it says one will chase 1,000 and two will put 10,000 to flight. Without God, it is utterly impossible. And without God, you would utterly fail. But through Christ, you can do all things. You say, well, maybe they have more faith than I have, and maybe they're stronger in the faith than I am. All you've got to do is, this formula works for everyone that tries. As God comes through for everyone that tries him, he even says in a certain place, prove me and see. He's talking about tithes and offerings, but you can prove him on any part of his word. Prove him and see if God won't come through for you, if God won't stand up and be true to his word. He said that heavens and earth will pass away before I allow one dot of an I or cross of a T of my word to fall to the ground unfulfilled. God guards his word to perform it. He will do what he said he would do.
There's a definition. It talks about perspective. It says the ability to see beneath the outward form to the underlying, often hidden reality. And that's what sometimes things appear, not sometimes, many times. The situation appears to be bad. It appears that there is no hope. But then when we begin to ask God, as David did, he said, open up my eyes, O God, that I may see your wondrous works. That it takes God to open up your eyes and to open up your heart of your understanding to see what is actually going on in the situation. And you know what? That is a gift from God, that he's able to be able to lift up. It's like a veil in your understanding, that you'll have that moment. So, oh God, I see. I now see what you see. I now see that there is a way, and that God, that you're going to provide the way. You might not have the full understanding of the whole situation, but you would God will cause you to know that he's handling the situation and that he's going to bring you out.
Amen. And if you've ever been around people that are preparing for something great, be it a wedding or a party or a feast or something, and they've been preparing and setting the table and preparing and getting ready and setting the room and decorating things, and you haven't seen it yet, and there's an anticipation building. Sometimes there's a nervousness and an anxiety building for those who wonder if it's going to turn out like they had hoped. And sometimes the party planner, sometimes the decorator might say, listen, I'm just going to bring you in and let you get a glimpse of what we're doing. We're not done yet, but I want you just to see so you can stop worrying that everything is going to be all right. And sometimes they'll let you peek in and see, hallelujah, that which has been covered up and hidden and veiled. They'll let you peek in and see that this thing is going according to plan and everything is going to be all right. Well, every now and then you need to ask God to open your eyes and let you peek in and see beyond the veil that everything, he's got everything worked out on your behalf, that God does have a host of the heavens surrounding you, prepared to do battle for you, or if you are his child, that God will stand for those who stand for him. You might not be able to see the angels that surround you. You might not be able to see the host of heaven that fight for you, but you better know that when the enemy comes in, it is God that raises a standard like a flood against your enemy. When the enemy comes to war against your soul, it is God that will deliver you. By this we know that God favors us. He will not allow your enemy to triumph over you. How does he prevent that? Because he stands and fights on your behalf. He dispatches angels to fight on behalf of those who serve him. God will deliver you, and God will stand up for you, and God will fight for you. But you've got to see this thing through the eyes of faith and stop focusing on the situation, the problem, the circumstance, the sickness, the illness. Stop focusing on your lack and start speaking on those things that are not as though they were. Speak in through faith what God has said you are. God said you're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You're the lender and not the borrower. Speak over your life what God has said about you, and pray God that he open the eyes of your faith that you might see, hallelujah, that you might see it before it comes to pass, that you might believe it and embrace it before there's any evidence in the natural, that God might give you the ability to see, perceive, and understand through the eyes of faith what he is doing in your life. Lord, open my eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you, Lord. Lord, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh, Lord, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of the glory, pour out your power and love as we cry, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart.
The song says, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, because I want to see you." And that is the prayer that we have.
So going back to 2 Kings chapter 6 that we read at the start, this is the story of Elisha, the servant. You got to remember about Elisha. This is the young man that received a double portion of the anointing of Elijah. So this man was greatly anointed and walking in the power of God. He had seen his master walking and operating in the things of God proficiently and effectively. And he had had a great trainer and leader before him, and he had walked with Elijah and served Elijah and seen the miraculous of God through the hands and life of Elijah. So it was no small matter, and he had great expectation because he said, "Lord, I pray thee a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And you remember Elijah said, "If you see me when I am taken up," he already knew, "I'm going to be taken up out of here. And if you see me when I am taken up, then I'm going to give you a double portion." And Elisha was granted his request. And now he's walking with God, and he has those to whom he is training himself in ministry. 2 Kings chapter 6 talks about the king is trying to figure out if he has a spy in his camp, because somehow every time he tries to go to battle, it seems like the Israelites know what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. They know his inner workings. They know his strategy. They know his plan. And the king said, "Find the spy in my camp." And his men went to him and they said, "Oh, king, there is no spy in your camp. It's Elisha, the servant of God in Israel. Every time you say something, the Lord is revealing to him everything that you say in your bedroom. Everything you say in private, God is revealing to him because he serves the Lord." And that's when the king said, "We need to go get him. We need to go get this man." And when they went down to get him, because they had encompassed the city, and Elisha was asleep, but his servant got up in the morning. And when he got up, he saw the horses and the chariots all around him, surrounding him. And he knew that those were not their horses and they were not their chariots. And he said, "Elisha, wake up." Kind of like the disciples did, LJ Renee, when Jesus was in the bottom of the ship. "Elisha, wake up. Don't you know we're about to be destroyed? There's a whole host of an army that's out there to get us. Wake up, Elijah. What shall we do?"
And you know what? I can just sense that someone is saying just that. "Lord, can't you hear my enemies coming up on me? Lord, don't you know I have received this bill? Lord, don't you know they're going to turn off my lights, turn off my phone? Lord, can't you hear them talking about me?" Just so many things that happen in our lives that our response is, "Lord, can't you see this? Lord, can't you see?"
Wake
them?
Up. We saying to God,
like they were
like
the
they
ship.
Said to Jesus, "Wake up.
Can't
like
you
he's
see
asleep.
We're perishing?" Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, even when he was in the boat, he said, "Don't you," the disciples told him, said, "Don't you care?
If we
perish?" And I can hear someone saying that. I've said that before. "Lord, I'm perishing here. Help me." But the thing about it is God doesn't get ruffled at those things. Matter of fact, he told me that, you know, it is a done deal. And sometimes it's hard to see that it's already finished. It's already done. What he's promised is already done. But what we're feeling is the anxiety and the footsteps of the enemy. But God is not frightened by it. But he said that those who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High should abide under the shadows of the Almighty. And what he's doing is drawing us in closer to him, that we may hear his voice, that he may show us some things that are going on, and that we're able to stand against this battle. And you know what? God also given his promise to us. And he said, "If you would just remind me of my word," he said, "I'll move just on that one thing. When you remind me of what I've spoken unto you, I'll move on your behalf." And it's such a great thing to see how when you were frightened and afraid that something was going to come up on you, and find that God is already taking care of it for you. Don't be anxious for nothing, but with all things bring it to him in prayer. And he said all things to bring it before him in prayer, and he said he'll take care of it. God help us, open up our eyes that we may see.
Open up our eyes. Let's just think about it. Here in this text, Elisha's servant is awakening him. get up, Master. Don't you know they're surrounding us? They're about to come and get us. These are not our men. These are not our friends. These are our enemies. And there's a whole host of them, Master. What are we going to do? He's panicked and he's afraid. He's in turmoil and his heart is racing. Some of you, you're in panic mode and your heart is racing and you don't know what to do. But oh my God, I thank God that he is the God of all peace, and his peace passes all understanding. When the disciples didn't know what to do and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus got up. You know, he wasn't in no hurry. He wasn't in no rush. They were panicked and thinking they were about to drown and die. And they thought, Master, you might as well get up and help because you in this ship too. If this ship goes down, you're going down with it. But they didn't know that the master of the sea was on the bottom of that ship. There was nothing that was going to happen to them, but he wanted to open their eyes that they might know. Hallelujah. They even stood in amazement after he spoke peace to the winds and the waves. They said, lo, even the winds obey his command. I mean, God opened their eyes to see. Even in this text, Elisha said to God, he didn't even fret about the army. He didn't say, show me where they are. He didn't say, how many of them is it? He didn't say, let's get a strategy. He didn't say, pack up your bags. But as soon as the man told him, I'm certain that God had already told Elisha, they're coming after you. And so when the young man woke him up and shook him and said, get up, what are we going to do? Elisha didn't even answer that question. He said, oh, there's a whole bunch for us, more than those that are against us. How would he even know that? He never even went to look. He never inquired of how many there were outside, but God had revealed it to him. So he said, Lord, I pray, open this young man's eyes that he may see that there are more that are with us than that are against us. And the Bible says he answered the prayer of Elisha. And when God opened the young man's eyes, he looked, and around Elisha, there was a host of the army of the Lord all around him, fires, chariots of fire and horsemen everywhere. I mean, God's got you surrounded. You remember, the devil can't just run into your life and have his way in your life. The devil can't just wreak havoc in your life and do what he wants to do, but there's a gatekeeper at your life. You are no longer your own, but you've been bought with a price, and the one that paid the price is the one he's got to come through, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And the devil can't just run through Jesus, but when he comes to him, he says, have you considered my servant? Yeah, I thought about him, but I couldn't get through to him, because you got a hedge around him, just like Elisha. You wonder, why was the chariots of the enemy and the horsemen of the enemy on the outside? Why had they not attacked? Because they could not attack. They couldn't get through, because the Lord had a host, his own host around Elisha. And even if they wanted to, they couldn't come any further. And I thank God that the enemy can't come any further. He's been bothering you and wreaking havoc in your life, and you think you're about to go under, but he can't do any more than what he's already done, because God's got your back.
I remember a dream that the Lord had given me, because I was under a lot of stress. And I remember that the Lord had opened up my eyes to see what was going on in the heavenly realm. And what I saw was that there was a great battle going over. It looked like it was a far distance, and it looked like that the enemy was winning. But I saw from afar that the horsemen were coming. It was Jesus riding upon the horse, and he had the heavenly host with him, and he was coming toward that place to rescue and to defeat the enemy. And I remember that so vividly, even while you were talking, that vision came back to me again, that God would open up my eyes and my heart to see that he is coming, that you are not alone. Because sometimes you feel like you're alone. You feel like you have been left in this thing and there is no help. You're fighting. But God is saying, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And when I saw that in that vision, I I knew from there, even in Revelations, it talked about the Lord Jesus riding upon the horse and how his garment was dipped in blood and how on his thigh was written faithful and true. And on his head, he had many crowns. And that's because he has many crowns is because he defeated many of the enemies. He's defeated the kings of the earth. And every time a king is defeated, the one that is defeated the king, he puts on his crown. And God is saying that, listen, I'm the one that wear the many crowns. I've defeated many kings, that those who come against you. He said, but listen, he said, I am coming to your defense. And when that came to my mind, the king is coming. And I saw that.
Oh God, would you open up our eyes? I want to see just as God sees. I mean, think about it. When the Hebrew boys went into the fiery furnace, God opened some eyes that next day when they came out. I mean, it said, think about it. Even the unbelieving, they looked in there and they said, didn't we throw in three? But lo, I see four walking around. The fourth one was the Son of God himself, Jesus himself, walking in the fire. Their bands had been loosed and they were walking liberated and free. God's going to free you. I pray that he opens your eyes to see that he is with you. He said, lo, I am with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I thank God that even on the mountain, God opened Abraham's eyes when he said, look over into the bush. I've got to sacrifice a ram in the thicket. And God opened his eyes to see that there was something God had provided in the bush. I pray God open your eyes today to see that he has provided everything that you need, that he opens your eyes to see that he's greater than your enemy, that he opens your eyes to see that he's all that you need. May God open your eyes. Even Saul, when he had his conversion and God knocked him from his beast and changed his name to Paul, but he blinded him and he sent him over to Ananias. And Ananias said, why are you sending him to me? I don't want to pray for this man. He's been killing the saints of God. And God said, I need you to pray for him. And Ananias prayed that the scales would fall from his eyes, and God opened his eyes. And then you heard his testimony. He said, I used to breathe out cruelty and I used to chase down the saints of God, even consenting to the death of one. But now I preach the gospel, which I once despised and rejected. God opened his eyes to see that he is Lord. May God open your eyes. Even the unbelieving, their eyes have been blinded by the God of this world, lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. But I pray today, God, open their eyes. Open the eyes of the blind that they may see. Open the eyes of the unbelieving that they may believe. Open the eyes of the doubter that he may have faith. Open the eyes of the fearful that he may be confident that God is God and God will do what God said he will do. He is faithful and he will come through for you. Dear God, we thank you for this time. Hallelujah. We thank you for calling us to remembrance, God, that we might seek your face, that we might, Father, seek to have the eyes of our understanding enlightened, that we might seek to have the eyes of our faith open, Father, that we might see you clearly, Father. I pray for the unbelieving that you would drop the scales, Father, the blinders that the enemy of this world, Father, the God of this world has blinded their minds with, that they might see that you and understand you, Father, and that they might receive you as Lord and Savior. And I pray for the people of God that you would open the eyes of our faith, God, that we would see you, Father, even as you are, high and lifted up, that you would give us a vision and an understanding of how great you are. Oh, God, that each and every one of us would stand in awe and in amazement and wonder at you, Father, that we would be able, like the songwriter said, when I in awesome wonder and consider all that your hands have created and all that you have done, that we would be able to say and proclaim and exclaim the greatness of our God. Oh, Father, would you open our eyes that we would see the host of heaven that surrounds us and fights on our behalf? Would you open the eyes of our faith that we would know, God, that you are faithful and just, and there is nothing too hard or impossible with you? God, would you open our eyes that we might stand in faith, believing and knowing that you can do anything, the miraculous, the impossible, the improbable, the unlikely, Father. Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every one of us listening to this recording, would you open our eyes, God, that we might see you clearly, that we might love you more, and that we might praise your name forever. In the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, open our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.